Good morning, Cross City. How are we doing today? Did you guys survive Thanksgiving? By a show of hands or an audible, disgruntled voice, who went Black Friday shopping this year? Anyone? Very few. It's getting less and less because, you know, we have this beautiful thing called the internet. And we can stay at home in our PJs and eat leftover turkey, and we can just shop on our phones, on our laptops. There is this thing, Amazon was they bought that Black Friday game. They spent $100 million to have the first Black Friday football game. You could actually, like, I read this yesterday, you could buy whatever they were selling in the advertisement on your TV. You didn't even have to do anything. You just click it. I'm like, what will they think of next? I don't understand. I love Black Friday shopping. I love going out. I love people watching. You see some weird stuff shopping on Black Friday. And I do a lot of my shopping at Walmart regardless of the day. But I feel like most days at Walmart are kind of like Black Friday just because it's crazy. It's literally insane, but I love it. I'm so glad you survived Thanksgiving. You survived Black Friday. Hopefully you got some great deals. But my name is Zach. I'm a high school pastor here at Cross City. And like always, it's just an honor and a privilege to have this opportunity to communicate to you, to preach with you and to you and for you. And I just have to thank my dad, thank the leadership team for the opportunity, the powers that be. So thank you, powers, for this opportunity. And speaking of thanks, I am eternally thankful for you. Cross City Christian Church has been my home. It's been my parents' home, my family's home. Next Friday will mark 28 years that this church has been our home. Yes. Which next Friday is our Christmas tree lighting celebration. Don't miss it. Also, my 30th birthday. Okay. But it marks 28 years that my dad has been the pastor here. We have so many things to be grateful for, to be thankful for. Someone could write a lot of books just on your thankfulness and your generosity and the things that you have done as a church for this church, but specifically for my dad and for my family. And so I am just so, so thankful for you, Cross City. But I do have to let you in on some things that have been taking place with my father over the last few years. There have been some things. He's been experiencing some minor periodic seizures, and he and my mom are diligently working with doctors to determine the extent of the cognitive impact that it's having on him and his mind. And he's still our pastor. He's still going to be preaching. He's up next week. And he's also just going to be going through a process to help get him the support that he needs. And I just ask that you, church, now more than ever, would just continue to lift him up in prayer. That you would just continue to, whenever you think about this church or think about him, I know you'll rally. I'll know you support him. But please, more than ever now, just continue to pray for him, our staff, my family, and our church. And if you don't mind, I'm just going to take a quick moment as we begin our service. I'm going to pray for our service, but I'm also just going to ask you to lift up my father in prayer. Would you do that with me now? Dear Heavenly Father, we love you so much, and we're just so thankful for what you've done in and through my dad for the last 28 years here at Cross City. We're excited for the future and what's to come, and we know that you're going to be in the middle of this process, God, but right now we just lift him up to you, and we just give you this situation and circumstance, God. We love you so much and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much. Well, today we get to start our Christmas series, which is ironic because I don't get to talk about Christmas today. I get to talk about, what do you think? Thankfulness, Thanksgiving, right? And our series title is called Thanking Through Christmas. Maybe you've heard the phrase like, I'm thinking through it, but how can we thank through just this holiday season? How can we be thankful, not just during this time of Thanksgiving, but this holiday season and Christmas? Because we as people, I think we need to be more thankful. Some of you are pretty good at being thankful, and you're good at showing it, you're good at talking about it, you're generous, and people know you're thankful because they see it, they experience it, and they feel it from you. But for others of us, we might not be as thankful as we ought to be. We might not do the best job of showing our thankfulness and our gratitude. If I told my wife once a year that I loved her, do you think she would appreciate that? No. If I bought her flowers once a year, would she be okay with that? No. If I hugged or kissed my wife once a year, well, now I think about it, she'd probably be okay with that. Yeah, she probably wouldn't mind that. But here's the thing. I feel like we wait just to this time of Thanksgiving, this holiday season, to show, share, and state our thanks. And I don't think that makes a lot of sense. Now, as I was taking a self-inventory about my state of thanks and how often I show it, share it, and state it, I wasn't too happy with where I found myself. I feel like I take a lot of things for granted. And I would imagine that a lot of us do the same. Speaking of taking things for granted, we had Jimmy Corral up here a few weekends ago talking on Veterans Day. And what a powerful message. And what about that? I mean, the sacrifice that people make day in and day out so that we can be safe and we can be secure. I take them for granted. And there's so many things that so many people have done throughout our lives that we just don't see. And we just kind of look out for ourselves. A couple weeks ago, I had to take my car into Costco. I had a tire light that was on for weeks. I was like, my car's probably gonna blow up, whatever. And eventually it got to a point where I was like, okay, I need to make an appointment. I took it in. Turns out that I had a couple bad sensors in my tires. Don't even know what that means, but they said, we need to replace them. I said, okay, replace them. And then they called me a couple minutes later and were like, hey, you also have two bald tires that need to be replaced. So I said, okay, replace the tires. Didn't think much of it. But what I think happened is when they replaced the tires, they took the hubcap off, put on a new tire, and put on the new hubcap. Well, the next day I had to take a road trip to Los Angeles. I was meeting up with some buddies, and we had this thing planned. And so I go to LA, I hang out, I come home the next day, and I realize that I am now missing a hubcap. And so what I think happened is when they were exchanging the tires and the hubcaps, they probably just didn't put it on correctly. No big deal. Like, I didn't even really notice. It was actually my wife, Rachel, who pointed it out. She's like, hey, you know you're missing a hubcap? I said, well, it must have fallen off on my road trip. Whatever. The other day, last week, I went on this road trip like weeks ago. And last week, my wife and I are in the garage and she says, hey, do you see that over there? She points at my hubcap that's on my car. She's like, you haven't noticed, but I bought and put on a new hubcap for you, by the way. Thank you so much for thanking me. And I'm just like, oh my goodness. In that moment, did I not take her for granted? And did she not feel like I took her for granted? Now, this is just a small gesture, a sweet thing. It's not this big ordeal, but man, I didn't even notice. And I feel like it's because sometimes we put on these blinders and we don't notice the little things that we should be thankful for. Now, a hubcap is just a silly example, right? But what are the things that your spouse does for you that you just assume will get done and you never thank them for it? What does your boss do for you that sets you up for success and you don't thank them for it? What do your friends do? What do your family do? What does your family do for you that you find yourself taking for granted? I feel like if we took like a minute and actually thought about it, we could probably list 100 things we take for granted. We don't do a great job of showing, sharing, and stating our thankfulness. And throughout my 5 years of being married to my wife, I have learned that she loves words of affirmation. She loves being thanked for things that she does. And I have found out that sometimes when she does something great, like a hubcap or something else, I see it, I recognize it, and I thank her to myself. I literally will see something that she's done, like, oh man, that looks great. Thank you so much for doing that. She's not in the room. She's not anywhere near me. I just say it in my head, and then later I have to learn the hard way that I need to vocally express my thankfulness to her. Babe, thank you so much for doing those dishes. Even though I made the mess, thank you so much for paying our bills on time. Thank you for loving me so well. But if you're like me, we probably don't say thank you enough to the people closest to us who need to hear it the most. Now, I would like to think if you hold the door open for me, I will say thank you. If you let me cut you in line out of the parking lot after service, I will put my hand up and say, thank you so much. God bless you guys. Praise God. Okay. If you do something for me, I would like to think that I would thank you appropriately. But what I find myself doing is thanking people who know and love me the most, the least. I thank them the least. I'm taking them for granted. And the sad reality, at least for me, is I find myself thanking God the least for what he's done. Talk about taking someone for granted. The creator of the universe, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, does he not deserve all the praise and thanks and glory? And I find myself thanking him the least. I find myself taking the most advantage of him. Now, I said if I told my wife once a year that I loved her, we would have a problem. If I told God once a year or just once a week that I loved him and was thankful for what he has done, I think we would have problems. And what I think we do is we actually break God's heart when we don't live in a place of thanksgiving for him and towards him every single day. I feel like we should wake up and immediately thank God for what he's done. Thank you for waking me up. Thank you for putting air and breath in my lungs. I feel like we should get out of bed jacked up on Mountain Dew for Jesus. We should, but do we? Because I don't. You should see me get out of bed, man. It is a process. It is a problem. I'm sad. I have to leave the warm, cozy cinnamon bowl roll of, you know, blankets. And Rachel's always... Stop hitting snooze, man. Get out of bed. You're going to be late to church. And I'm just frustrated that I have to do all these things. And we should wake up every day thanking and praising God. I was just hanging out with our students, like in between services. I was talking with some students, and another student was walking up, and he was smiling. He was happy, and they're friends. And the guy I was with, he goes, why is Ethan always smiling? I'm like, he's got the joy of the Lord, man. He's happy to be here. Why are you hating on him? Because he's always smiling. I feel like we should smile too much. I feel like we should smile too much because of what God has done. That's right. And I find myself, when I pray, I usually start off by saying, God, thank you for blank. God, thank you for this food. God, thank you for this day. Thank you for my family. But I feel like it's just become like a check mark in the box. I feel like I don't actually genuinely thank God enough. And the Bible tells us to always be thankful, but I don't always show it. And I would bet a lot of us in this room are probably in a similar boat. And some of you might be sitting there thinking, man, you don't know what I've experienced. You don't know what I've gone through. You don't know how I've been hurt. You don't know about the circumstances that I find myself in. You don't know how hard it is. It's been so tough since I lost my job, or since my spouse left me, or since my loved one passed away. Everyone in this room, we have things in our lives that we could allow to consume our thoughts and not express thankfulness and gratitude. We all have hurts. We all have pain that could be at the forefront of our minds, and they often are. And I know a lot of us live in less than ideal circumstances, and being thankful is a challenge. It is difficult. But today I want to look at what the Bible says about being thankful. And I'm not here to dismiss or diminish your feelings. I don't want you to pretend like everything is going fine and dandy when it's not. I don't want you to hear me and think I'm saying, hey, just don't worry about that and be happy. That's not what I'm trying to say. But I want to look at the fact that God has done something very important for us. And no matter our circumstances, no matter what they look like, because of what he has done, we can and should be thankful in all seasons, in all situations, and in all circumstances. Because we've all experienced pain, yes? And there's a lot of types of pain, but I'm going to talk about two. The first type of pain is like this. It's a negative thing or just something that's kind of happened to you. Maybe someone said something rude to you or lied to you or lied about you, and it just kind of hurt your feelings. Maybe it's a poor decision that you made and there were some negative consequences that caused some pain. Maybe it's a bad habit, a physical ailment, a broken bone. There are things that happen that hurt and they're painful, but it's not the end of the world. For me, when I was in college, I was playing in a church league basketball game. And I went up for a layup and I got fouled and I came down like this on my hands, which you're not supposed to do. And I got to the free throw line and I was like rubbing my wrist. I was like, my wrist really hurts. And I didn't think anything of it. You know, I'm playing basketball, so the adrenaline was high, whatever. Later that night, I'm sleeping, I wake up, my wrist is in pain. And I keep like talking about it. It's bothering me. I'm talking to my roommates. I was like, my wrist hurts. They're like, be quiet. And how about you go see a doctor? I'm like, no. Okay. So what happens is I played beach volleyball. I probably played more basketball. I moved out of my dorm room by myself. And I come back home to Fresno for the summer. I get an x-ray. Turns out I broke my wrist. And I was like living on a broken wrist for like 3 or 4 weeks. And it was painful, don't get me wrong, but it really wasn't the end of the world. I got surgery, I got a cast, and it's healed up, it's good, all is well. That's the first type of pain. Maybe you've experienced some type of pain like that. The second type of pain, though, it's a different type of pain. It's a pain that you endure. It's a pain that lasts a long time. It's a pain that you feel deep down in your core, and it's a pain that hurts in the moment. But as you go through the process, you're grateful because of what you went through. Amen. Think of it like if you've ever played sports, and it's like a couple weeks before the season, and the coach is like, all right, everyone get on the line, we're just gonna run. Right? And you do all the training and the weightlifting and the running and the sprints and the up downs and whatever you're doing, you're training your body. You're experiencing physical pain in the moment so that when the season comes, you're strong and you don't get as hurt, or you can withstand more hits and bruises and whatnot. It's painful, but the purpose, the process has a purpose. And if you've ever went through like a military boot camp or fire academy or police academy or something like that, right? They break you down, right? It's painful in the process. It's painful in the midst. But as you build on it and get stronger, you come through bigger and stronger on the other side. It's painful, but it has a purpose. Now, some of you are aware, my wife, and some of you are not, my wife is currently pregnant. We're expecting our second child, 2024, March, early April. Thank you. But childbirth is kind of an example of what I'm talking about. It's a long-lasting pain. And if you've given birth, I have not, but think about that process. Whether you labor or you have an epidural or you have a scheduled C-section, there's so much that goes on into the birthing process. And I can't speak on it officially, even though I've witnessed at least one birth, and I currently have a food baby of the turkey and pumpkin pie that I've been eating. But think about this idea of giving birth. What an enduring pain. It definitely hurts in the moment, because when your wife is like, you're like, yeah, that's painful, right? It's a process, but once you see that baby, aren't you grateful for the pain? Are you not grateful for the process? And speaking of childbirth, like the months of waiting, the crying, the yelling, the discomfort, and I'm talking about myself, right, in this situation. It's tough. But as my wife is going on through this second pregnancy, she's reminding me of the process of always feeling uncomfortable. And she doesn't like being sick, and she's not looking forward to the hours of labor or the pushing, but in the moment it's painful, but we can be thankful because of the process and what it brings. And there are some people in the Bible that the Apostle Paul writes to who were experiencing some pain. And those people that he writes to, like us, were confused about how to handle their pain. We're going to read a chunk of scripture from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, going to chapter 5, verse 11. Here's what Paul writes. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates, we do not need to write you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come upon them suddenly. As labor pains on a pregnant woman, they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, you are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in the fact you are doing. And so Paul is writing to these people who are experiencing pain. Specifically, they are experiencing loss of loved ones. The people who have fallen asleep, they have passed away. And he's saying that the people who are mourning and grieving, not in the proper way, it's because they don't have Christ. And when their pain and their suffering comes, they suffer greatly because their lack of hope. And Paul is writing to them, and he's trying to get them to understand how to handle the death and the sleep of their loved ones. And he keeps saying sleep, but it's really a metaphor for death. And I think he uses the metaphor of sleep because sleep is followed by an awakening. And if we have Jesus Christ in our lives, we will experience a Christian awakening, a spiritual resurrection. Our bodies might fail, but Jesus Christ does not. And he's trying to convince his audience that they could be thankful in all circumstances because they had hope in Jesus Christ. And the people were worried that their loved ones were passing. And he's like, don't grieve and mourn like they do. Still honor the deceased and the people who have died, but don't grieve like the rest of mankind. They don't have the hope that we have because we don't live in darkness. And therefore, we should not grieve like those people, because in our pain and trials, in bad and negative circumstances, we can still be thankful, because 5:9 says, "For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ." Verse 10, "For he died. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him." That is why we can be thankful always. That is why in the midst of our pain, we don't have to always focus on the negative. We can experience the bad and experience the wrong, but we can still be reminded of the good. We can still be reminded of the good. It's not putting on a fake face, pretending like the stuff doesn't exist, but as painful as the moment is, it's the process that leads to life, hope, and salvation. And we can be thankful for the labor pains because they show us the process, and the process gives us signs of progress towards the end goal, which is eternity with Christ. And we have moments where our loved ones will pass away. The healings we pray for might not happen, and the things we want don't always work out. But can we not still be thankful because of the labor pains, because of the process that it pulls us through? We can get to the good stuff in life. We can experience salvation. And I believe that our pain can have a purpose if we allow it. And again, I'm not saying that your pain does not exist. I'm not saying get over it and just think happy thoughts. I'm trying to say what Paul says to the Romans in Romans chapter 8, verse 18. He says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. And what's the end goal? Eternity with Jesus. Is it hard now? Incredibly. Do bad things happen? Yes. Do I always get what I want? No. But do we believe that God is still good and in control? Absolutely. And I can be thankful because I know who God is and he never changes, unlike my earthly circumstances. John 16:33 says, in this world you will have trouble, but what? Take heart. I have overcome the world. And then Paul continues writing to the Thessalonians in chapter 5, 16, 17, and 18. He says, rejoice always. He says, pray continually and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. He's not saying, hey, be happy at all times. He's not saying, don't, your pain doesn't exist. But he's saying, rejoice in the Lord always. And when we read this, rejoice always, it's not an order. It's not a command. It's an invitation. It's an invitation to worship and to joyfully praise God for everything he has done, especially the fact that he sent his son, Jesus, to die on our behalf. And if you read the New Testament and you read Paul and you read Acts, he experienced a lot of pain, right? A lot of trouble, a lot of heartache and heartbreak. And it's not fair for us to compare ourselves to Paul and say, man, he went through so much, so I don't have any pain that's real. No, it's still real, and it still hurts, and it's still painful. But Paul learned that his affliction and his deep joy went hand in hand. And I think he models for us how we can be thankful in all circumstances and how we can rejoice always. And then he says, pray continually. Pray. Pray. He's not saying just close everyone out, sit crisscross applesauce, and just pray 24/7. But he's saying spend each day, each moment of our day, in the spirit of prayer as we realize our dependence on God and all that we have and all that we are. And if we're conscious of his presence, we can yield ourselves to live in his will. And then he says, give thanks in all circumstances. And there are things in our lives that are not worth praising or giving thanks for. But I think our pain has a purpose. It leads us to the end goal, salvation and eternity with Christ. And I feel like thankfulness should be one of the most defining characteristics of the people of God. But do we do our best when it comes to showing, sharing, and stating our thanks to the people around us and to Christ? Have we become lackadaisical in our worship? Do we just show up to church so we can check the box? Have we forgotten how good God is? Are we rejoicing, praying, and giving thanks in the ways that we should be, not just during Thanksgiving Day or Thanksgiving week, but every single day? Listen to what Paul says in Colossians 3:15-17. If you wanna develop an attitude of thankfulness, here's what you do. You let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And then he says, be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is an invitation to allow the peace of Christ to rule in our hearts. It's an invitation to be thankful in all circumstances. It's an invitation to let the message of Jesus dwell among us. Are we going to accept this invitation? And the message of Jesus is this: he died for you. He died for you. He died for me. And that's the message of Christ, that we were sinners in need of saving, and he sacrificed himself so I didn't have to die an eternal death, a spiritual death. He sacrificed himself on my behalf so I could live with him forever in heaven. 1 Thessalonians 4:14 and 5:9 said, "For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, so that we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. In this world, we will have trouble. Things will go wrong. People will get sick and people will pass away. But we have hope in Jesus Christ because he has saved us." And Paul wrote, "Our present sufferings are not worth comparing." Our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. And Jesus, the true divine and human image of God, the one whose cross secured our reconciliation and restoration with God, is the reason for our thankfulness. Thankfulness is not an optional idea, but it's a fundamental posture of the heart. It is a daily choice to acknowledge God's goodness and express gratitude for his continual work in and through our lives. And when we let the message of Christ dwell in our hearts, the fact that he saved all of us sinners in need of saving, our hearts become a fertile ground for thanksgiving to grow and flourish. And the more we immerse ourselves in the word of God, the more we will understand his character and the depth of his love. And then the word becomes a wellspring of thankfulness. And it shapes our thoughts, and it shapes our attitude, and it shapes our actions, and it determines everything that we do, no matter the circumstances we find ourselves in. And then we can live, and our lives can become a continuous act of worship and thanksgiving as we live according to God's will. Psalm 100 says this: "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture." Verse 4, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." If you have Jesus Christ in your life, if you are a follower of him, this is how we should be responding and living. And we will have pain, and we will have trouble, and we will have heartache, but we are to enter his courts with praise and thanks, for he is good and his love endures forever. And if you don't have Christ, if you have never accepted him as your Lord and Savior, if you have never realized or understood that you are a sinner in need of saving, man, today could be the day where you enter into his courts with praise. Today could be the day where you enter into a new relationship with God. And you might be going through something right now. You might be dealing with some terrible news. You might have been let go. You might have received an awful diagnosis. The circumstances in your life might be pointing you to not be thankful, But I know that with Jesus, even when things are tough, we can be thankful always. Not because Jesus makes things easy, but because with him, all things are possible. With Jesus, I know that he works all things out for good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. And with Jesus, he is for us. And if he is for us, who can be against us? And I know that with Jesus, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So whatever you are going through today, I know that Jesus is the answer. And I don't say this as a cop-out, but I know things will not go our way. Our plans will not happen the way we have planned. But what I know and what I believe is that trusting in the God who has the plan is and always will be the plan. And I can be thankful because as I know and trust the one with the plan, I know he has my best interest in mind. I know I will love him and I will trust him and I will be thankful always. I will rejoice always. I will pray continually and I will give thanks in all circumstances because of Christ and what he has done for us. We can always be thankful. And the idea of thanks and gratitude and thankfulness, it's not reserved for just one time a year. It's an attitude that must be adopted. And if we allow Christ to rule in our hearts and we allow his message to dwell among us while we give thanks through anything and everything, we will begin to develop an attitude of thanksgiving that is worthy enough to enter into his courts with praise and thanks. But it starts with knowing what he's done for us. It starts with accepting his sacrifice on our behalf. And then we give him our circumstances and we allow him to continue to move in our lives. So if you're a Christ follower during this next song, man, just think about, what can I be thankful for? How can I show it? Who can I show it to? Who needs to hear it from me verbally or vocally or maybe a written note? And if you don't have Christ in your life, what would it look like for you to make that decision today? To accept Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? To enter into his courts with gladness and goodness and thanksgiving and praise? So if anyone needs to make any type of decision, we're gonna have a team of people down here in front. If you need prayer, you can ask for prayer. If you need someone to talk to, there's gonna be someone to talk to. And if you need to take that next step in your spiritual journey and be baptized, today can be the day. I love you guys. Let's stand and let's sing.